I'm Alex Hirsch, creator of Gravity Falls.
I'm Jackie Buscrino, the voice of Pacifica.
And I am Matt Brawley, the director of the episode.
And this is Northwest Manor Mystery.
Woo!
I like this episode a lot.
Love it.
What do you guys think?
This is one of my favorites.
This is one of my favorites, too. This is, you know, there's a lot of episodes in the series that were planned very early on, something that we had always wanted to see, some kind of big design that we had. And then there's some episodes that were just completely improvised on the spot. We needed to fill some concept, and this was one of those. And sometimes those turn out to be the best because you're just reacting to sort of what the show needs at that moment. And we felt like what we needed at this point in the series was we really wanted to see a scary mystery ghost.
Absolutely.
Ghost
That's
episode.
That's what I want to ask. How did you get away with this? Ghost.
Sure.
Killers.
Witchcraft.
I mean, what I would say about that is, you know, obviously there's always an evolving conversation about, you know, what's appropriate for the show. And whenever there'd be a pushback about something like this, the argument I would always make is part of the Disney brand, since there was a Disney brand, is witches and haunted houses and ghosts and scary stuff. Like
Chernabog, yeah.
Well, it sort of goes back to like Grimm's fairy tales is like storytelling, particularly for kids or for anybody, is starting in a safe place, entering a nightmare, and coming out the other side safe. And that's always been something that has been part of the Gravity Falls core idea.
Absolutely.
So, and whenever we did this, whenever we did scarier episodes, they were people's favorite episodes.
Absolutely.
I've met with fans all across the world. I have people sending me letters and tweeting me all the time, and I've never had a kid tell me that was too scary.
Oh, the right. Kids love it.
They love it. They love being scared. Yeah.
Kids are just, they can't get enough of it. You know, in the moment, they might be a little frightened, and then when they get through it, they feel like, they feel awesome. They feel a little stronger.
They
like,
defeated something.
Yeah, like they defeated the monster.
Gift basket has a live quail inside.
Give me your life, Pacifica.
Guys, in case you've already forgotten, Pacifica Northwest is the worst. And that's not just jealousy talking. I'd say that to her face.
I need your help.
You're the worst. See?
Look, you think it's easy for me to come here? I don't want to be seen in this hovel.
But there's something haunting Northwest Manor. If you don't help me, the party...
I got to give props to Alonzo, who boarded this sequence.
Yep.
Alonzo was always looking for an opportunity to put characters
outfits,
in different outfits. And he was so excited to have this, like...
Her incognito outfit.
Yeah, and it's like this old Hollywood...
Yeah,
like,
so
it's
glamorous. Really great, yeah.
Glamorous.
The dark glasses.
Yes. Wearing the head wrap.
Yes. Oh, I especially love Mabel's running moose sweater. that's a delight.
We don't talk about the sweaters a lot. That one was... I was very happy when I saw that design because it's so weird.
Dreams. That's so good.
So this was an episode that was written by Mark Rizzo, Jeff Rowe, and myself. There was an earlier draft of this episode. It was much more about the mystery. We were trying to go for some kind of noir thing, and it wasn't really working. And I have to actually give huge credit of the story in this episode to Matt Brawley, because I remember we had all these pieces we loved. We loved the idea of going to this big sort of Twin Peaks was an inspiration for the show, and this idea that it would be like the Overlook Hotel.
Right.
That it would be like this very Northwest
Look at that whale.
Yeah, all this sort of like, you know, native artistry and stuff. And we loved the location, and we loved the idea of we're going to have ghosts. It's going to be like The Shining,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, those are all the points of influence. We could not crack the plot for the
right,
life of us.
Right.
That we knew, like, okay, this is the episode where we're really going to learn about Pacifica, and there's going to be a ghostly curse. But what is the ghost's vendetta?
Right.
In the earlier drafts, he was just an evil ghost for no reason. And we couldn't crack it in the writer's room. Me and Jeff and Mark, we couldn't crack it. And I remember late in the game, you know, we needed to turn this script in a couple of days, coming into Matt's office and being like, Matt, what is the ghost's problem? I can't think of anything. And you were the one who suggested maybe the ghost just wanted to be invited to a party 100
right.
years ago.
Right, right,
and the
right,
ghost
right.
folk were kept out.
Right.
And so, like... It is a parallel to
right.
her parents.
So they're thematically connected.
And
yeah.
it, like, immediately, all the pieces fused together.
Yeah.
Like the episode, if you hadn't said that, this episode wouldn't have worked.
Thanks,
like,
man.
You saved it at the 11th hour. And the moment you said that, like, I ran in to do a rewrite and all the pieces clicked.
Cool.
Because suddenly there could be the idea that her family has been like this forever gives Pacifica a choice.
Right.
Which is like, I realize now that my family has been like this. I realize
right.
now that I'm
right.
like this. Can I be different?
Right, it's like a class thing, like a class warfare.
This is where she has, though, when I was talking about like her full arc of
her,
like of changing,
yep.
knowing she came from a family history that's
unsavory, to say the least.
Yeah, to say the least, and awful to people, and that's how they made their riches. And
this scene,
she changes,
is one of my favorite scenes in the entire series. Just everything to me, the tension between the characters, the tension of the ghost, the artwork of it,
yeah,
the
man.
Music that yeah, Brad man. Did, like. It was, we also, even I wanted to see Dipper in a suit in this episode because well, often when you have a character, just part of sort of the story arc is you want a character to adapt to the new, weird, unfamiliar world they're in.
Yes,
so Dipper's in Pacifica's world now.
Yes.
And he's forced to try to play along even though he doesn't love it.
Yes.
And it just, immediately you get that feeling. Well, it also reminded me of when you're a kid and you wear a suit, it's only for like school dances and for... like graduations.
Sure.
And it's kind of stressful.
Yes,
you sense heightened stakes when you're wearing a suit.
Ancient sins. Ancient sins. Ancient sins. Ancient sins.
Dipper, what is this?
It's a category 10.
Ancient blood and blackened skies, the forest dark shall once more rise.
What do we do? What do we do?
Don't worry. It can't get worse than this.
I smell a northwest.
This scene is incredibly well done.
Yeah, this sequence, again, it's when you write something like this, you have a hope of how it's going to turn out, and then the artists come and make it so much better. The color on this is so good. We like the idea that the book is useless
in this situation.
And sometimes, you know, every episode we try to do, like, what's magic we haven't seen before? And we had already done a ghost episode, but we felt like, how can we make this ghost different? What if he's genuinely threatening?
Sure.
Like, there's no sense that he's going to give up on anything. This is the first time we see the mayor.
Oh.
Very unimportant character. We had an idea that there might be a mayoral race sometime later in the series, so we thought, let's introduce the mayor and show that he's near death so no one will feel bad when he dies.
He has an amazing name, too. Oh, this guy. This is an invention by Emmy.
Yeah,
for sure.
We got to give Emmy Sisierga credit for boarding that. Obnoxious guy.
Unbelievable. She like figured out like the weird follow through on his hair.
It reminds me of Ichabod Crane.
He does look like Ichabod Crane. Absolutely.
This is a Mark Rizzo joke. One of our writers, the cheese, chocolate, sweet, savory loop. We've all been caught in a loop like that.
Oh, Marius.
Oh, the Austrian.
Another character voiced by Matt Chapman. Whenever there's a crush of the week, you can count on dreamy Matt Chapman to provide the voice. Guten take me now.
Guten take me now.
I love their B story of having a pact. Like, I like that in
absolutely.
It's disastrous.
Wow, okay.
Listen, Mabel, I don't know if I can follow.
Well, this was actually a really hard B story.
Yes,
to crack.
I was about to ask you about that, Alex. Did you want to talk about like how hard this was to crack and why?
Sure. Well, we liked the idea of a Candy, Mabel, Granda B story because we felt like we don't see enough of them, and it was one of these things where a crush is always a great way to catalyze a story because you feel high social stakes.
Right.
But I remember when we actually sat down and kind of looked at it, there was this feeling of like, we don't want it to feel like these girls love each other. They're friends. And the idea that they might turn against each other is very, it's just a reductive portrayal of, I think, female friendship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's super risky too, to show nice characters being mean. It's just
being mean
bit,
to each other. Yeah, you want to like each other. So we tried to make it clear that, like, it's not that Candy or Mabel dislike Grenda. They love Grenda.
Right.
And it's not that they think that Grenda is incapable, but her Grendaness does not fit in an environment like this.
Sure.
So it was like, it was a hard balance. Like, we don't want it to seem like they're throwing their friend under the bus.
Sure, absolutely.
But we will also want to understand their perspective of like, how are we going to flirt with a prince if Grenda's like, you know, smushing food in his face.
Sure.
And hopefully, I felt like we were able to come up with a decent balance there.
Yeah, it
I feel
has
like
a
when
nice
people
balance.
Saw it, they empathized with the characters. You need to give characters enough of a flaw that they have a story, but you don't want them to seem cruel.
Plus, you know, Candy and Mabel get served at the end.
Yeah.
So.
Justice is given. This is a reference to the Frighteners.
I believe this is Von Tada.
Storyboard artist Von Tada
really
did a
beautiful.
Fantastic job of this.
That was so good.
And I gotta give Kevin Michael Richardson, he's the voice of Sheriff Blubbs and also the voice of this terrifying ghost.
Very talented.
Wait, here comes the exorcism.
Yep. Alex, this is something we were talking about earlier, but what's so exciting about this pairing about Dipper and Pacifica is that Dipper is normally very, he doesn't have a lot of confidence, but around Pacifica, he has tons of confidence.
She brings it out of people.
There you go.
Yeah, she sees a version of Dipper that nobody gets.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah.
And he looks cute in that suit. I know it's uncomfortable, but it's just adorable.
He does look good.
He cleans up all right.
He cleans up good.
When you're used to seeing a character like, you know, wearing the exact same outfit every day and then they change, you're like, oh, you got some moves.
Yeah, yeah.
You got some turns. So like,
she doesn't want him to leave.
Yep.
Even then, though, she's like, it's because the party is so great that you can't leave.
No, it's not.
She can't bring herself to say, I want you to stay. It's like, what idiot would leave the best party in the world?
But we know what she really means.
Platonic friendship.
What are you laughing about, man? I defeated you.
You've been had, boy.
So, this is great.
Cracking this backstory for... We had to figure out a lot of these... things where you see something like the ghost trapped in a mirror. It's not because we had some big mythos about ghosts. It's because we wanted him to be able to carry the ghost with him.
Right.
We wanted the ghost to be able to escape. Yeah. So you often work backwards in a script. You're like, we need the ghost to be able to tell something, Dipper something at the end of the act. We need the ghost to be able to escape, maybe a mirror. This sequence boarded by Vaughn. He did a fantastic job.
The axe to camera is, I think, one of the things I'm most proud of on the show, just because it's really well done.
So you said the mansion was based on the Overlook Hotel because it looks like the Greystone Mansion, where the murder happened, and that's what I always thought.
Oh yeah,
in Beverly Hills, it's like a Doheny Mansion, and that's what when I actually got to see this put together, I thought, I wondered if Ian had used that hotel or sorry that home as a reference.
Could
because
be.
It's such a spooky big. So yeah. It had nothing to do with that.
I think Ian and his team did a good enough job on this building that everyone sees it. It kind of reminds them of their haunted house. Like,
yeah.
Nick Offerman, who's the voice of Agent Powers on the show, and is a big lumber worker. Like, he loves working with wood. I remember
he has his own shop.
Yeah, he read the script for this episode because he's got one line, and he said, "I read the script, and there was so much magnificent lumber." I told my wife I have to do this show. I turned over to Megan and said, "It's funny, and there's lots of wood." That was his reason for doing the show, was just reading the description of how a magnificent Northwest Manor was. He wanted to see it animated.
All you had to do was let the townsfolk into the party, and you could have broken the curse.
So we had to figure out something that Pacifica was partially responsible for, but not so much that it made her irredeemable. So the idea was, our kind of headcanon here was that, you know, basically the ghost attacked. Their parents were like, "We got to get rid of these ghosts." And Pacifica's like, "I've got this guy. He's a little bit of a pansy, and he's got this book, and he'll fix it. And then we don't have to, you know, let the people into the party."
Was the bell introduced in this episode? The Pavlov.
This is
like,
the first
or is that
time
a first?
We've seen
I
the
love
bell,
that.
I
yeah. So this is something where this is actually slightly controversial. I think it was misinterpreted by some people. I've mentioned in a number of episodes that we're always looking for a visual way to tell our story. That's the power of animation. So you're always looking for something that will communicate the idea, but that's an image because you can carry it with you. That image can transform.
Right.
Like
it can get discarded or ignored.
It can get discarded. Yeah. So this idea was, we need a moment where Pacifica disobeys her parents, and we need that to be so potent and clear that when she does it, it's clear that she's grown.
Mm.
And so this idea of like, her parents, the way we imagine it was, she's got really controlling parents, and they look at Pacifica like they look at a prize show dog, you know? And, you know, like Pavlov's dog is the famous experiment where you use a bell and you reward the dog with the bell. So the idea is, you know, that's their version of don't make us count to 10, you know? And if she disobeys, you know, they send her to her room, they cut off her credit card, you know? Got to give a shout out to Emmy Sierra. Boarded this. Phenomenal, phenomenal work. I don't think she'd ever done professional storyboards before coming on Gravity Falls.
Nope.
Wow.
And she was new to the show, and
she killed it.
Grew like 10 different drawing muscles on this
did
episode.
Did she go to school with you guys?
She did not.
No.
She's, I think, homeschooled. She's from the East Coast. We just knew her work online, and she was such an asset to the series. She added so much.
It's really interesting because we divvy up the scripts kind of based on the artist's strengths, and Emmy's strength is comedy. She's hilarious, but this was a really good episode for her to kind of flex her action muscles, and she did an amazing job.
Yeah, that's the sort of dilemma when you're a manager or a director and you have a bunch of talented people. When you know somebody's really good at something, you want to get them to do that thing they're good at because you only have so much time and
absolutely.
You know you can count on it. But if you never give them different things, you'll never give them a chance to grow. And I don't know how it was the case that Emmy wound up doing these action scenes, but I'm so glad she did.
Yeah, absolutely.
She did an amazing job.
Yeah.
But these boys might not.
Oh, then I guess they wouldn't like this either.
She also had a lot to contribute to this sequence.
Absolutely.
We were having such a hard time figuring this out, and I think this whole idea of her flicking Marius's nose on purpose.
I don't think that's in the script.
No, I think that was something Emmy added of like, how can they be in control of the story, and it's not Marius's story, it's about them.
That's where she hooked Marius, by the way.
Yeah.
Apple cider. Yeah,
it all works out for her at the end.
It all works out. I love this joke.
Just that he's befriended the local sportsman, but does not understand or appreciate anything about these people.
Oh, here we come.
Yeah, this stuff's great.
This was a lot of fun to come up with this sequence. We have, often in the writer's room, we'd have a whiteboard where when we were planning an episode, we would just draw every idea we could think of. And we're like, okay, ghost gone wild, basically inside of, you know, the Shining house. What could we do? And we had to do everything. Turning to wood, taxidermy
coming
animals,
alive, yeah.
The forest coming alive.
Oh, the taxidermies. There's this some
was,
great
I
stuff.
I wanted to ask specifically, who did this?
Emmy. That's Emmy.
Oh, this stuff it's is so scary.
This is, this
so
is Emmy.
Funny, oh, it's man. So,
yeah,
so
not
good.
In the script. She
That's
came up with
time.
That.
That's a good time.
Yeah, it's rare we get to see Dipper look kind of cool.
Yeah.
And in this episode, he's really capable.
Oh, this is awesome.
Oh. I love this vaguely Dr. Robotnik looking, Dr. Eggman looking
yeah.
ghost.
Who knows how that happened?
Well, I like this.
Alonzo boarded this stuff. Very dramatic, yeah. Very emotional.
This is where she goes through all the paintings, right? And
it
sees
is.
The
it
history,
is.
Yeah.
We like that even Aww. In this dark yeah, moment, right. Dipper has to call out that the ghost is rhyming for no reason. We used to have these paintings earlier in the episode when Preston was, you know, we have a reputation to uphold, but it was kind of getting in the way of the story.
Oh, they were light versions and dark versions.
Yeah, we figured we could just reveal it here. And this was all incredibly well storyboarded, incredibly well acted. Like, you get a little bit of pathos here. Like, I actually feel for these characters. And Alonzo put a lot of thought into even just the design of the idea that she would have red gloves was the idea that she had blood on her hands. Like, there was so much thought that went into this. I was so impressed.
This, like, cursed forest is so cool. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this sequence, great art direction by Ian, great storyboarding by
Alonzo. This is...
And we love the idea. This is super rare that Dipper just gets straight out defeated.
Yeah, yeah. It's very cool.
And we gave him the same pose as we see in the bunker.
Yeah.
To try to make it feel like maybe Dipper just bit it. Like, maybe it's over. Like, there was a prophecy that this was going to be his end, and it just happened.
Yeah.
So it's really up to Pacifica now.
And this is her story, so.
You want me to let in the townsfolk? Because I'll do it. Just change everyone back.
So we like the idea that the stakes of this came down to the idea that her parents just didn't want the townsfolk to see their house messy. that's literally it. Like, they could save everything, but they're like, you know, we're going to stay down here. We're going to eat the butler. We're going to wait this thing out.
Right. I love this. That was dark, too.
It's,
like
it's a dark
Donner,
show.
Donner party.
He's fine with it.
Yep.
Yeah, Nathan did an excellent job.
Oh.
Yeah, so the whole existence of the bell is just to show this scene.
But
it's
you
just
said somebody had a problem with it?
Well,
or?
There were some people interpreting it. They're like, oh, there's such manipulation here. Are these parents abusive parents?
Oh, I see.
And it was like, no.
Thinking too much about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think people invest so much in these characters. They love them so much, and they get so invested in the drama that they sometimes get carried away. They wonder what's beyond the margins of the story.
Right.
And, you know, if you think our show gets dark, fans can go to really dark places. That's a Jeff Rowe joke. That my heart grows hard like an elm.
I love all the hillbillies that rush in and then just trash the place, of course.
This is beautiful. Vindication. Lumber justice.
Yeah, this was Alonzo's storyboarding, the idea that he turns into the skeleton and then the axe falls
off. But the axe was real, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So cool. And then it just turns into a Rodney Dangerfield
movie.
This is
great. This is
great. Hey, everybody, get the cookies. It's like just classic slobs versus snobs. Like, oh, Drat, my monocle.
Yeah. Really good revisions here by Amelia Lawrence. Just gonna call that out.
Yeah, she did a great job. And we love these costumes that are
amazing costumes.
Made by the girls themselves, probably right before they showed up.
She says, like, where's the hot glue gun, right?
Yeah, we're going to make our dresses.
So funny, man. Come on, let's go dunk our heads in some cheese. We don't need boys.
So we needed to show that they were cool before Marius arrived. And I mean, we imagine that, like, basically this literally is the love of Grenda's life. Like, Grenda and Marius probably get married. She probably moves to Austria and, like, can control the markets with her whims. Like,
that's good.
Marius, I like peanut butter. Invest in peanut butter.
Like, she can change global economies. I wonder if there's any lesson here for hopeless romantics out there is that confidence works. Confident Dipper and confident Grenda start getting attention in a way that they haven't really before. Oh, and this was another.
I love the rug. Was that based off of a true story of anybody who?
No.
Because every house has the rug or the special room that you cannot walk in.
True.
This was another thing where we were looking at the script and we were like, we need Pacifica's choices at the end to be visual, right? So the bell is visual, and we're like, what's a visual way to show, like, she's literally doesn't care? That's why we added the rug later in the story to say, like, it's a symbol of
absolutely
what her parents demand.
So this
her.
Is us. Trying to set things up for episodes to come, but this is one of the coolest episode endings, I think. The imagery is so striking.
Well, we knew that the next episode was going to be the big one, and we wanted to suggest that these were connected a little bit. It also sort of showed the wrong arc for Dipper, that for one night he's willing to look this over.
This tapestry is horrifying.
Yeah, well, and that harkens back to, if you read journal number 3, we learn that Bill has tried to contact people in Gravity Falls before, the natives of Gravity Falls. He came to them in their dreams and said, build me a portal, and they're like, nope. But they made tapestries of it. Where's my phone?
I don't have it. Yes. Love the Zentag joke. Tambry, right?
This might have been based on actual fights I had with my girlfriend. Always at parties. Not even
gonna ask. Great.